Hey again, Anchor. So today I want to talk a little bit about Jacques Lacan, who was a famous French psychoanalyst and metaphysics writer. Is very well known if you take classes on psychoanalytics for his mirror stage theories. Basically, a child, a baby, let's say, or a child, when they're very little, they first develop sort of identification with the self by separating the self from the self and looking at themselves in the mirror. And they see that they have a self beyond just the introspective, beyond just thinking patterns and just looking around. They see they have a self by looking at themselves in the mirror, and they identify with them. And they also see, you know, that the mother is also a separate self. And they start to learn from other people around them. They start to mirror them with their mannerisms. They take some of them and they start to mirror them and incorporate them into the self. How they inflect their voice, and it's selective too. If a lot of people do one thing and it's a popular trend to sort of inflect in one way, or if a lot of people, you know, have certain emotional reactions to certain behavioral patterns, they start to mimic or mirror these and incorporate it into the self. Age, we are working everywhere we go. There's surveillance, which in some grids are completely protected. In other grids, you know, you can log on with your cell phone, it's not completely protected. And all film is digitally mirroring into virtual universes that are possibly forever kept somewhere. So, like, let's say, for instance, if you, as a child, do a school comes to videotape it on camera somewhere, that is forever commemorated, no matter how famous or not famous you are, on film in some kind of digital universe. Your image, your sound is being mirrored into something forever. You, as a person, how you're emoting on film is forever being digitalized and put out into some kind of virtual universe, as are everything probably is recorded even on the street cameras, and sometimes it's stored and kept by something like a military intelligence or government intelligence, and sometimes rogue intelligences, and sometimes you can just see average people on their cell phones, depending on which kind of grid you're in, can just see somebody walking in the street and how they move or how they talk to somebody walking in the street, and that too is creating virtual landscapings that are forever kept somewhere. Right? In computers of cloud storage that go on and on and on and on. So we're all in that together. But there are some people that, you know, they grew up doing film, or they do it as an adult on a large scale and even have millions of followers, or theater that's even video recorded, or radio, or television. And there's so many of them. And even if you're just an extra in one, a lot of this starts too with artificial intelligence. It can, if you start picking it up as you get older and older, it can start seeming like it synchronizes some of the language from some of the parts into the reality that you're given to. So, for instance, I talked on the first episode about how my first opera at the Metropolitan Opera when I was little, it's called The Flying Dutchman or Der Fliegende Holländer. It's by Wagner, and again, Wagner was Hitler's favorite, and I'm a Jewish little girl. I was the only Jewish little girl in the opera. And they put devil hats in us, had us do a little dance, and then we come out in the light and we're transformed on a ghost ship. So when I was really little, a few years later, I used to sit in the front of the mirror in my bedroom and stare into my eyes and, like, meditate. And I wondered if there were, like, other realities that might be of darker nature that can go in my head and beings from them. And looking back, I think a lot of it might have to do with just that I played that part to make me even think that. If I hadn't played that part, I might not have those associations. And I didn't think that at the time. I didn't have any association that it was because I played that part or even thought about that part. But I had those thinking patterns. And it might be real. It really might be real that that's why I was having those thinking patterns as a little girl, just like looking in myself in the mirror. And thinking that, and this is, you know, already decades ago. So even what we're thinking in sometimes can affect, you know, the language of AI, you know, in everything that it's generating around us. And a lot. When I was going to Road of Shalom, at the same time, we would sing in the choir, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's a very famous prayer that they sing, and it is basically that all of the world is at one with Israel and God and language. And what they're trying to say, I think, so that people stay integrated, is that everything, no matter how many virtual landscapings they can design from the self, and no matter how many possibly different other separate multiverses there might be, it's all still interconnected. And to, you know, stay alive, you need to stay integrated. And just because there might be other realities, it doesn't mean that all language and all image and all beings are somehow, you know, not interconnected. They are. They're all interconnected, and they're all still at one with each other, no matter how high or how low or how left or how right, or, you know, how primitive or how modern, etc. And so it's important to remember that and stay integrated. And I think that's something that you see a lot in lots of world religions. You also see that in Eastern also a lot. The people that meditate, they talk a lot about, they believe in reincarnation sometimes, and they believe that humans can, after they die, go into animal forms or insect forms or higher god beings even. But they still think it's all interconnected and all at one and all talking through everybody at the same time, no matter what variation you're in. And they try to center the self and meditate on that, and also keep a lot of the time they work on keeping a calm and still mind, because that also generates information around you. If you're able to hold energy and keep your mind still for, you know, certain durations of time, that keeps your head functioning in certain healthy patterns and could prolong life even, I think, no matter what situation you're in, because it shows you still have the ability to center the self and to calm the mind and to quiet language in the mind. And that's really helpful, especially if there are gajillions of realities talking through everybody at once. And also with Lacan, a lot of the time when you take psychoanalytics, they then go into object relation theory, which is interesting. You know, the self is the self and the other is the object. And a lot of the time that has to do with not so much in mimicking as it does, or mirroring as it does with Lacan. It's more how they hold the energy of the other being projected onto the self, if they're more to the depressive side of the end, or if they're more to the personality disordered side. Depressive people tend to hold it by not getting into too much if somebody annoys them. And if somebody annoys them and they're more personality disordered, they tend to more like act out. So it's like two different ends of the spectrum, and everybody generally falls into one end of the category. And there are different ways of humans learn to hold energy differently. And they all can live in it together, but generally they have a lot of both. And everybody does, like I said, fall into one category. And even if you study film, you can even look at it, and you can see that every single person generally, as far as object relations go, every character or every person being interviewed, you can see them as one or the other. People that are on the more depressive side tend to be more introspective and more like calm, and they just hold it. And people that are more personality disordered sometimes sound like they can be a little bit more anxious and projected outward and always have to be, you know, overcompensating or talking about something. So anyway, I think this is possibly eternal too. Who knows how long light and technology and virtual mirrors have existed for? If there are more advanced races of beings, possibly. Possibly we're the creation of them. Possibly they've always been doing this with us, and it's who knows again what history is. And it's really important in this day of modern technology with endless amounts of virtual, endless amounts of film, endless amounts of AI, no matter what's happening in your reality, to stay integrated, to be aware that everything is still one, even if there are gajillions of realities, and to keep on persevering, and to never give up, and try and understand everything that's communicating to you and with you, and keep on moving forward. And I think a lot with, if you look at a mirror theory like Lacan, a lot of classic psychoanalytics, you know, it's almost like it affects in time. You can look, even if you really have done, I've done a bunch of film and a bunch of theater and things that have been preserved on audio, etc. You can really see what language or parts you've been given. And you can even see then in turn certain patterns from early on and later on. And it's like it's mirroring it in different ways throughout your entire life spectrum. If you really want to be contemplative and sit down and start, you know, thinking about this or keeping a journal, you can see it. And I think everybody can see it. And it's really not uninteresting if you're somebody who thinks that's an interesting thing to do contemplative-wise. So as far as mirror theory goes, even that is affecting that it was so popular and used, you know, used during World War I, World War II in Europe, and they still talk about it today in psychoanalytics if you take classes on the subject matter. And that as a whole in world history is something that's affecting things because people really took it seriously and really used it in practice and really analyzed things with it. And that's also affecting things as far as, like, major world orders go, going forwards and backwards in time. You know, the average person doesn't necessarily think about these things or talk about them, but a lot of people do. A lot of people find metaphysics and psychology to be interesting, and psychoanalytics. So these things affect film and art because those kinds of people find it interesting, and those kinds of people that really are successful in it study these things, and it affects it, and it affects the heads they're tucking in and the characters they develop. And even if you're not in it, like I said, the surveillance cameras are still watching every single step we take on the street, no matter who you are. And those are forever recorded somewhere. So the human race going forward, it looks like it's forever going to be, in these realities anyway, recorded onto something. And we're all a part of that. And we're all creative beings. And we all need to stay integrated while we're able to, and while we're alive, and while we're breathing. Okay, guys, thanks again for tuning in to this this day's episode on Anchor by Dana. And I will see you soon. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.